You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 6. Today, we're talking all about creative writing and how to get your teen using writing to support their academic success over the summer holidays. One of the biggest barriers I see to top level exam performance is underdeveloped writing skills. I particularly see this in the young men that I work with, but I also see it in girls. That's why I've invited Jill Pawley onto the School Success Formula today to talk about how to encourage your teenager to write creatively and thereby improve their confidence in writing or in all areas of their lives. Welcome to the School Success Formula, Jill Pawley.
Well, thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you here. So, Jill, firstly, can you tell us a bit about how you work with children and young people to improve their confidence, skill and love for writing?
Well, InkPot primarily runs in schools as after-school clubs, and I also run independent workshops. And we meet on a regular basis to encourage children to develop their creativity. And it's because we see each other as a group every week during term time, we can develop a really good creative community where everybody feels relaxed and supported. And it's then that we see the best writing develop, where young people can absolutely be themselves.
Okay, so it's kind of the social environment in which you work that kind of gives them that confidence to start really expressing themselves.
Yes, there's no competition. Everybody is just doing their own thing, really. And you know, some children will work together, which mm-hmm. is brilliant. But it really is about getting their ideas out and not worrying too much about whether it's a right or a wrong idea. It is really, we want to hear everybody's ideas, and they're openly discussed, and sometimes the wackier the better.
Yeah.
So that, you know, imaginations can really flow.
Okay, so what kind of format does it take? Are they kind of workshops that you run?
Yes, at an after school club, every term I have a theme, mm-hmm. and we'll take in some ideas, perhaps some word puzzles and some worksheets for everybody to do. And then sometimes we might have a group story going on, or sometimes we use video to get ideas going. And some children will work on their ideas and then write at home, and others will prefer to get everything down in the group. So it's very much about going at their pace and not having to rush to get at the end of every session to finish anything.
Yeah, so I think that's really interesting that you always start with a theme. So can you give us some examples of themes that you've used in the workshops?
Yeah, this last term, because we're just finishing off now for the summer term, every week we've done a different period of history.
Oh, wow.
And we've looked at maybe some books that are around. So for, you know, lots of us enjoyed a really great book about Greek gods, a very funny book. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that. And then what you find is that each period of history, there's normally somebody's written a children's book around it.
Yeah.
So somebody like Jacqueline Wilson writes a lot about Victorian times. And so, yes, we found the books, and then some children have, in primary schools, will have worked on a particular period of history as a topic. And, you know, we'll have been perhaps particularly interested in an aspect, and so they can perhaps go off and perhaps do some poetry about it or start a story.
Mm-hmm. So really you start the inspiration with kind of almost like an artifact or a book or something to inspire them to think about a particular subject.
Yes, and I really encourage children to think about all the senses. So
yeah.
If there is something that they can feel, for example, or you know, sometimes I take things, you know, smells are good.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired lots of a different thought. So yes, it's something that's that children can actually get their heads around. And certainly what we don't do is we don't sit around a table with a piece of paper in front of everybody and wait for the words to come. Lots of props.
Yeah, I remember when I was at primary school and I used to love writing stories, and I used to crave for the week when they would not give us something specific to write about. So most weeks they would say, today write a story about so-and-so, and I'd be like, okay, and I'd set off, but I'd be craving the freedom to write about anything at all. And then when that week came and they said, right, you can write whatever you like, I had absolutely no idea where to start. Yeah. And I think that's quite a common conundrum with any form of writing, isn't it? If you're not given kind of a starting point, you have no idea where to start yourself, unless you're a very practiced and creative writer.
And a very confident writer, mm-hmm. I think. It's really interesting because a couple of years ago, I started a Saturday afternoon group. And my idea was that it would just be very free and easy, and that people could just come along and, you know, work on whatever project they wanted to do. And I really quickly realised that I had to have some structure.
Yes.
But enough structure for there to be creative freedom.
Yeah, but, so that must be quite a difficult balance to strike.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, we have a wide range of young people who come along. Some of them have got, some of them find handwriting physically quite difficult. Others do have dyslexia. And right through as I say, the very confident writers. So I try to find something for everybody, and that can be a bit of a challenge. But I think that's one of the things that's quite attractive about our groups, is that there should be something for every young person to find, so they can develop in some way.
Yeah. So before we move on, how did you get into this line of work, Jill? What's your background that brought you to be encouraging children to write creatively?
Well, I'm a publications editor by training, so I've spent many, many years actually producing books, and I really loved that. But there was a point when desktop publishing came along, and everything changed. And mm-hmm. so the skills that I'd accumulated along the way just weren't needed as much. So I was looking for a change of direction, just as my own sons were at university, and they were having a fantastic time, really, really enjoying themselves. And I was a bit of a rudderless ship.
Oh,
and I did think about going into teaching, but I thought it really perhaps wasn't for me. And I just came up with this idea of creating a sort of a safe, secure environment where my 9-year-old self would be happy, I have to say.
Yeah.
And so it started off with one school, and now it's grown. So we're through in several places in mid-Sussex, and we're growing all the time. So it's actually really exciting.
Fantastic. And you work in primary and secondary schools?
I do now, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so you hinted at this a little bit, but what difficulties do you commonly see in young people when they're asked to put pen to paper? And, you know, what kind of barriers do you see to them expressing themselves in writing?
I think it's really interesting in your introduction where you said you'd noticed that boys in particular really struggle with their handwriting. And yes, lots of boys will say, my handwriting's awful, or I can't do it. I just can't do it. And then you have to really help them get over that. They really do worry that the handwriting's very, very untidy, and then that their spelling isn't great, and that I won't be able to read their work. That lots, you know, especially every barrier that can be put up.
So it's technical stuff that's getting in their way.
With the boys sometimes.
Yeah. Interestingly, I worked with a year 13 boy who was taking geography A level, and he came to me for a whole day of geography tutoring recently, and he would not write in front of me. Mm-hmm. And his mum had told me before they came that he was a very slow writer, and he was very insecure about his writing, and he wouldn't do practice papers and all this kind of thing, and he just flatly refused to write. I did not see him pick up a pen and write in 5 hours working with him, and I just thought, you're setting yourself up for failure if you refuse to even practice using a pen. And, you know, I couldn't get him to pick the pen up and write. He insisted that I wrote everything that we talked about that day, and I just think it's tragic if, you know, people get to the age of 18 and they're on the verge of going to university and they won't write.
Yeah. I regularly get parents who tell me that their sons or daughters have amazing ideas, just the most astonishing ideas. And, you know, yes, when you have conversations, they've got a whole story bubbling away in their heads, but it's actually getting it down onto paper.
Yeah, that's often what I found when I was teaching in schools, that you give children questions to answer and they sit there and they'd have nothing on the piece of paper in front of them. And you go to them and you say, what's the matter? You know, what don't you understand? And they would say, I don't know how to write it down. And I said, well, what's the answer to the question? And they would explain the whole answer to the question to me. They would know the answer and be able to say it verbally. And I was like, well, why don't you just write down what you just told me? And they were like, oh. And then they would. And they were like, okay, it's not that hard. So, I think for some people, they just need to have that chance to say it out loud almost, don't they?
Yeah, which is why we use video quite a lot, so that they, the young people can actually get their words out.
And yeah, then so how do you use video? Explain to me how you use that.
Normally, I record just two children chatting. If two children want to work together and they've got a story idea, but again, all the ideas are jumbled up. Mm-hmm. So I record what they say and then sometimes do a transcription for them so that they've at least got a starter. They've got some words there that they can go away and work on. That works quite well. Or another thing that we do is to work out what kind of notebook works really well for an individual child.
Okay. Because
Sometimes if you find a notebook that falls open in the right way, and it just helps them physically to feel more comfortable.
That's amazing, isn't it, that something as subtle as that can make the difference?
Yeah, and a nice pen, the kind of pen that they really like.
Yeah.
And that might take a little bit of trial and error. But yeah, going back to the notebooks, lots of children don't like the ones that are really quite stiff to open.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them like ones that flop open. I know I do. I like a notebook that, you know, has got a nice spiral binding.
Yeah, I love spiral binding on a notebook. I'm just looking at all my notebooks on my desk in front of me, and they are all spiral bound. So, yeah, if anybody ever wants to give me a notebook, it needs to be spiral bound.
You can get so many of them, and some of them just don't work for some children. And especially if you're left-handed, it doesn't work for you in the same way. So you might need one that just opens completely flat without a spine at all. But it is worth playing around with that.
That's really interesting. So all the barriers and difficulties you're talking to me about are really technical, like to do with confidence in handwriting, the type of pen, the type of notebook, and maybe like a learning disability like dyslexia. But you haven't mentioned anything to do with people actually not knowing what to say. So do you ever come across that they just have no idea what to say?
Oh, goodness. I can see, some weeks I see about 100 children,
mm-hmm.
in the various groups, and I would say maybe one child will say, I've just got absolutely no ideas at all. But over the weeks, you would hope that you would get some ideas. It's really rare.
Yeah. Children. And that's really encouraging, really, isn't it? That everybody's got something to say if they're given the right stimulation and almost the right tools.
Yes. Yes. And actually, young people are innovators and they're incredibly creative. And somehow that kind of gets sucked out of us. You know, by the time we get to adulthood, we're you know, sort of really, really not confident about us expressing ourselves in the way that we can do when we're younger.
That's something I really noticed when I was teaching, because I taught in secondary schools and I used to love teaching year sevens and love teaching the sixth form, because year sevens were full of questions and the most probing and interesting and imaginative questions, and I had to draw on every ounce of my kind of university level knowledge to be able to answer their questions. And they got into kind of a term into year eight and year nine, and they never asked a question at all. They just weren't interested. It was like all their curiosity and creativity had almost been sucked out of them by puberty. But it started to come back when they were in the sixth form, and they started being able to show an interest again. And I think that's really interesting what you've said about, you know, that they have this creativity as children, but it kind of goes away a bit as people mature.
And I think as well that if we can really, really keep going with young people going through puberty, I think even if it's just encouraging to keep some kind of journal or diary, then that helps enormously with all the emotions and all the turmoil that inevitably goes on in those years. But if there is a creative outlet, then I really do think that helps.
Definitely. I just say that I started writing a diary every day when I was 6 years old. My mum thought it would be a good idea to help me with my spelling. And I wrote it every single day until I was 23.
Goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I think, again, because it was like this daily ritual, it was a habit. And I talk a lot about habits when I'm talking about study skills. But if you do it every single day, rain or shine, holiday or school day, you are just doing something. And sometimes it would just be a sentence, but sometimes there would be pages and pages and pages of stuff that I would write. And it was just such a good discipline to get into and such a good practice. You know, literally it was a practice of expressing myself through writing. And I think it stood me in really good stead as, you know, I came into the latter years of my education.
Well, that's really interesting because I did a school assembly this morning at a primary school and I was talking about exactly that.
Really?
Yeah, you know, through the holidays, I was giving the children some ideas to be creative during the school holidays, and that was one of the things that I said. If you keep a diary and you do it for a certain number of weeks, then it becomes part of your life, and you've got this wonderful record of how you're feeling and what you're doing.
Fantastic. So, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What would you recommend to parents, like kind of projects they could encourage their sons and daughters to do through the summer holidays to get their creativity flowing and to get them to write? So they're practicing writing, but in a fun way that's not like a chore when they're on the holidays.
I would definitely look to getting a new notebook and really looking into one that feels comfortable. You know, perhaps play around with different bindings and different covers.
Yeah.
And the, you know, so the type of paper, so that it's a real pleasure to write in the notebook. I don't think you have to spend a huge amount of money, but just perhaps a little bit of time and research into the different types.
So maybe go on a nice shopping trip in the first week of the holidays to find the perfect notebook.
Well, that sounds just wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah. And maybe you can top it off with ice cream at the end.
Fantastic. And then write down what flavour is the best and what it tastes like. And absolutely encourage your son or your daughter to really, really use their senses. So if you go somewhere that's new and you're having different food, you could, you know, keep a record of what they've liked and that they've not liked and the different sensations, different smells. If you go, you know, to a different country or a different part of the UK or wherever you're living, and maybe you live in a city and you go to the coast, what the air smells like, what the sunsets are like.
I think that's really interesting because that makes me think about mindfulness and how mindfulness really teaches us to live in the present. And, you know, if you encourage your child at a particular moment in the day when there's a sensory experience going on to really be in that moment and to experience those sensations, like, for example, if you're walking on a beach with bare feet and what the sand feels like under your feet and between your toes and all that kind of thing, and then, you know, really experience that and then go home and just write a really, like, a paragraph or something about what that experience was. You could almost do that every day, find a single sensory experience and write about that.
It doesn't have to be a lot, but it really is. It's just about keeping those creative muscles ticking over.
Yeah.
So it becomes just a natural thing to do, I think.
Yeah, I remember I did a blogging course a long time ago, and one of the activities they got you to do was to describe a blueberry.
Oh my goodness.
Which sounds ridiculous, but the range of descriptions that came back, they were just so different from different people. It was amazing when you can take something that small and prescribed and what different responses you can get from it. So, you know, if you've got more than one child, you can see, you know, like almost see their personalities coming out in the different ways that they respond to the same stimulus.
Definitely. And another thing is sending postcards. I don't think we do that anymore because we can still send a photograph, can't we, or pop it on Facebook or WhatsApp. And again, but try and encourage a really, instead of just writing, we're here, this is what we're doing, a really great descriptive sentence so that the person receiving the postcard really feels as though they're sharing in what you're doing.
Yeah, that's really, yeah. I mean, my children still love, well, my daughter, she's a real writer and she loves to write postcards, but they are definitely falling out of fashion, aren't they? But it's worth doing, I think. So, what one thing I got my daughter to do one year was to do just a holiday journal while we were actually away, and I got her a scrapbook. She was still quite little when we did this, and her writing really wasn't up to much because I don't think she'd even started school, and but that was a really fun thing to do, and that's something I really enjoyed, was having a specific book for that week that we were away and collecting tickets and leaflets and all that kind of thing, and writing about experiences as well. And I think that's quite a fun tactile thing to do that people can enjoy, that's different from just purely writing.
And I think something, I think girls love doing that kind of thing in particular. I think something that I know quite a few of the boys who come to Inkpots do, they like to have a collection, sort of collect things, keep them in a box. And those can still be used to trigger off some writing thoughts,
Yeah, and but it doesn't necessarily have to be creative writing. It could just be a description of where you found that part of the collection and why it's important and that kind of thing. And almost like cataloguing it in a museum.
Well, writers are great observers, and you're quite right, sort of it's the detail that really is brilliant in stories. And so all these little nuggets, young writers can just store away for when they need them and bring them out into, they can weave them into their stories and never know when they might be useful.
Yeah, just I've just come off a coaching call with a girl I've been working with for quite some time, and she's been preparing to write her personal statement to go to university for about 18 months now. And when I first started working with her, I encouraged her to keep a kind of log or journal of what she was reading and the kind of workshops and courses and everything she was going on, with her reflections and questions and all that kind of thing that were arising, so that she had a record of it all. And she just said to me, just literally about half an hour ago, it was the best thing ever. Like, and she's been going back, looking back through it in the early stages of writing her personal statement. She said, it's all there. I've just got to extract it and put a personal statement together. So if there are parents listening with children who are at that kind of stage, maybe in year 11, going into year 12, then making a record of those kind of experiences, summer schools, courses, trips to museums, reading, all that kind of thing, keeping a journal of all that kind of stuff is a really, really valuable thing to do as well.
It's a really great idea, isn't it? Because you just forget what you've done.
Yes,
And
completely.
with everything that's going on, with all the exam revision and all the stuff that goes with it, I think it's very easy to forget that what young people have achieved.
Yeah.
And something that doesn't at the time might not seem important, on reflection might be really, really worthwhile, and something that a university would be really interested in.
Yeah, no, I'm always reading books and think, gosh, that's a good quote. And then I think, oh, I'll remember that. And of course, I never, ever do.
Thank you.
So it's worth writing down. And I have tried to keep notebooks of all the, favourite quotes and stuff, but I'm always too much in the flow of the reading to stop and write it down. But this particular client, she's been amazing at keeping this journal. So I would encourage other
Very,
students to do the
very
same.
impressive.
Okay. So my next question was going to be, what can young people be doing on a regular basis to improve their writing skills? So we've already talked about journaling or keeping a diary. Is there anything else that people can do regularly, just to kind of exercise their writing muscle, really?
One thing that I think is sometimes quite difficult for parents is to encourage as much reading, but as to such a wide range of books as possible. because I'm incredibly guilty of finding an author and just sticking to that person.
Yeah, me too. And
just consuming everything that they've written.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah, one of the best things is if you have a good reading list, you could put together 12 books that, some of the classics even, that might be just a good idea for your son or your daughter to read.
Yeah, and I've got a challenge. It's called the Summer Reading Challenge, and it is basically to read 5 different genres. I think there's a classics, modern classics, self-help, recommended by a friend, and a free choice book. And I've run it for the last 2 summers, and people have, you know, really gone well with that, and, you know, read a really wide variety of stuff and discovered new things that they wouldn't have previously read.
I might do that.
Okay, well, I'll put the link in the show notes, and people will be able to find that there. I'm not going to actively run it this summer, but people can still do it. They can download all the information and the suggestions and just take it in whichever direction they want to, really.
And I think it, as a parent, if you got the time to read the books as well, and then, you know, you can have a discussion.
Yeah, have a family book group.
The other thing that I found incredibly useful at Inkpots is board games.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a really great group activity. And even those children who are introverts will, if they see a really interesting game, they'll come and join in. So there are some, we use one which is called Dixit.
And I've not heard of that one.
It's a storytelling game, and we get an awful lot of mileage out of that. So again, it's playing with words, it's using ideas, but in a great fun way.
Yeah.
So that it really doesn't feel like it's homework, and it's not. And you know, everybody should be having fun rather than it seeming like a slog.
Yeah. The other good one, which is really easy, all you need is some paper and pens, is Consequences.
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody writes like the beginning of the story, and you fold it over and pass it on, and writes the next line in the story and fold it over and pass it on. I'm sure there's slightly more structure to it, and if people Google it, they can find out what the actual structure is. But I think, you know, you have to write and you have to think creatively, and, you know, you're always trying to make it as funny as possible by throwing unexpected things in there. So that's a good one as well.
We actually did that on National Writing Day. Mm-hmm. And it was hilarious, actually. Mm-hmm. What we came up with, and then we carried that on the following week with that particular group. So that was a really great exercise.
The other game I love is Articulate, because it really makes them think about how they use words to explain something.
Yes.
So it's about spoken English more than it is about written English, but it's all kind of exercising the same part of the brain and increasing their confidence in expressing themselves, isn't it?
Well, we encourage our young people to actually read their stories out, because I think that it really helps when you're writing a story to read it out anyway. Mm. Because you get a sense of how it's flowing. But I think that's a great skill, being able to present your work and feel confident about it. So I believe that if you start off in a supportive group like ours, then that gives you the confidence to move on to when you do have to do presentations, as inevitably lots of our young people will be doing as they get older.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I do, actually. Like, when I've written a blog post, I read it out loud, to proofread it, because you can always pick up things that sound a bit weird by reading it out loud. And I encourage people to do that when they've written their personal statements for university as well, is to read it out loud. And if it doesn't really sound like you, then you should probably change it a little bit and tweak it. So I think, and again, that's a really, really good tip for people, and learning their own voice as well a bit, so that they get really confident with who they are and how they communicate.
And I think actually just getting used to your own voice.
Yeah. Well,
because I really used to struggle with just hearing my voice. Mm. when I was actually talking out loud, it's like, oh, I don't like the sound of that at all. So all of those things, I think, are just all add up to support a young person's confidence.
Yeah, you say that, and I was really, one of the things that I really had to get over to make this podcast happen was people hearing my voice. And that seems ridiculous because I've been a teacher. I've basically used my voice professionally. But actually recording my voice and putting it out there for strangers all over the world to hear, that was quite a big thing for me. So I think actually your use of video in sessions is probably quite empowering for children, because they get used to that, you know, recording of their voice and seeing themselves on video. And I think all that stuff's going to become more and more prevalent as our young people get older.
Yes, yes. One of my sons is actually a university lecturer, and he's based in the Netherlands. And so a lot of his initial interviews with prospective students are done over Skype.
Okay.
And so there's that whole thing of getting used to having to, you know, to deal with people that way, isn't there? So, you know, it's a good, if you can get used to quite a young age, as you say, to seeing yourself on camera, I think it really reinforces that you can do these things, and that, you know, put your mind to it, and you can achieve a huge amount.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, well, it's been absolutely fascinating conversation. I think it's really useful for both parents and students to get thinking about how they can use creative writing skills and just kind of have fun with it over the summer holidays, so that they can use it, you know, in the more formal setting of the classroom and homework and exams and all that kind of thing when they get back to school, and actually see, you know, having seen their confidence increase. So if people are interested in your work, Jill, where can they find out more?
Well, we have a website, which is inkpots.org, and we're also on Facebook at Inkpots, and Twitter, which is Inkpots1, and on Instagram.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put all those links in the show notes. But it's been a great discussion. I've really enjoyed having you on the show. So thank you so much for sharing all your knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. It's been lovely.
Well, I hope you found that interesting and helpful. I really enjoyed talking to Jill, and she had some great ideas how to spark your child's creativity and get them writing. I think it's particularly important to have that stimulus to give them something to actually write about, rather than just asking them to write. And even if they write just one sentence or just a paragraph, that's plenty if they're doing it on a regular basis to improve their physical ability with writing, as well as their confidence in their ability to express themselves. If you've got any questions or comments, please leave them on the show notes, which you'll find at lifemoreextraordinary.com/6. Or you can always come along, and if you're not already a member, join the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook group and leave a comment or question in there. Or of course you can send me a tweet on Twitter, and my handle there is at Lucy C. Parsons. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe in your podcast app and leave a review. Every review helps to spread the word to more people who will find the show interesting and helpful. Thank you for listening. Go out there and be creative with your children. Goodbye.